This is Jim Kircher from the Nine Network sitting in today for Steve Potter, and happily doing so because I'm joined now by Daniel Handler, author of a new novel, We Are Pirates in My Household. He is better known as Lemony Snicket. He's author of four novels for adults and two children's series, The Wrong Questions and A Series of Unfortunate Events. Daniel Handler, thank you for joining us here in St. Louis.
My pleasure. Sweet of you to have me.
Yeah, you're going to be at St. Louis County Public Library tonight. Let me get that information so I don't send people to the wrong library.
Absolutely.
St. Louis County Library, Library Headquarters. That's going to be at 7 o'clock on Friday night. That's 1640 South Lindbergh. What else you got going on there? What do you do at these events?
I've invited a poet to join me at each tour stop. So we have St. Louis's own Mary Jo Bang, who will be joining me on stage. She, a couple years ago, did a new translation of Dante's Inferno that was terrific, and she has a new collection out now called The Last 2 Seconds.
So We Are Pirates, and I will want to talk about, because my kids would kill me if I didn't switch over to the Lemony Snicket interview.
Sure, well, I don't want this interview to result in the death of anyone.
Right, exactly. Although, if you read your books, that's sort of an ongoing theme, is the threat of death,
if not death itself. I think if you wander around the world, it's kind of an ongoing theme.
Exactly,
yes.
It relates well. So this new book, We Are Pirates, as I was looking through the reviews, silly, macabre, dazzling, disturbing. This is all good stuff for you, right?
You flatter me. Someone got a thesaurus. I think it's all those things. It's a book about some teenage girls and some residents of an assisted living center who team up to steal a boat and commit acts of piracy in the San Francisco Bay. It's a book to me that is about displacement and wanting to escape from the confines of your own life and do something wild and lawless, and how that often ends up a little more trouble than you might have thought at first.
Yeah, I was jotting down. I said, how do I describe this? And, of course, you did a better job.
Thank you.
Tale of isolation, adult and adolescent isolation, disengagement, and real honest-to-goodness piracy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a symbolic. I mean, it has some symbolism there, but they're really pirates.
Yes. It's about an attempt in the modern day to become pirates in the classic swashbuckling mood, about why that idea is so exciting. And, I mean, it was an idea that I had years ago and chewed over for a long time, and not until I really started to study piracy did I find how fascinating its philosophy really was and how the appeal of it kind of explained. There's a great study of piracy called The Wooden World, which postulates that once you step off board onto this ship, you can really live according – you can create the world in your own image or in the image of your crew. And so piracy was full of people who, for one reason or another, were outsiders in society. And indeed, the classic pirate narrative is usually a good person who, through circumstances, ends up having to prowl the high seas. Early transgender and transvesticism were being practiced there. A lot of people who were outsiders for one race reason or another boarded pirate boats. So and my book tries to encompass all that. So it's 14-year-old girls who are feeling the weight of too much surveillance from kind of helicopter parenting and the power of cellular telephones to deny adolescents the ability to ever be someplace that they can say they're someplace else, which is kind of a powerful freedom.
Yeah, as I read this, and actually reading a couple of the Lemony Snicket books as well, there's a narrator in these, but it is sort of a disengaged observer narrator. But what fascinated me from by this book is your ability to capture the mind and the heart of a 14-year-old girl. That's quite a gift.
Thank you, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what kind of how I can take that compliment when it comes from someone who isn't a 14-year-old girl or hasn't been.
Well, yeah, maybe you got it wrong.
That's right. What do we know? But the book is dedicated to my sister. She's 3 years younger than I was, and I had a front row seat at her adolescence, which was not criminal, but stormy and fiery. And I take a lot of public transportation in San Francisco, my hometown. I remember taking public transportation when I was a teenager, and I remember specifically that there was no one my age on the bus. And now, sure enough, when I'm on the bus, I'm completely invisible, and I'm able to listen into conversations that I might not ordinarily be privy to. And then, of course, with the Snicket books, I meet a lot of young people. And I'm in a lot of schools, and I'm seeing what's being said in hallways and posted on bulletin boards and in people's lockers and things like that.
Yeah, and I got to say, when I told my kids I was interviewing Lemony Snicket, they said, no way. Lemony Snicket.
I'm sorry they disapproved, but, you know, I don't think the programming's up to them.
And then I sent them down to the basement to pull up a couple of
you mentioned that before we went on stage that you forced your children down to the basement.
I did.
First of all, I'm flattered that that's where you keep my books. It's certainly where they belong.
But they knew where they were.
Yeah, well.
And, you know,
I think all children know where the scary things are in the basement.
I wonder, I have to ask you this because you've got four novels.
Yes.
For adults, right? Mainstream or adult novels.
Sure.
Adult
novels always sounds dirty.
I know. That's what I say. But for adults.
Right.
Novels for adults. Because there's a little bit more language and, you know, stuff in this book. But
sure.
It's still kind of bizarre and weird. In that.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. So now I've totally forgotten my question. But where did you start? Did you start writing as a novelist and then you realized that you were really good at this. I don't know if we call them children's books or junior novels. I'm not sure where that audience
I'm
is.
I'm always comfortable with the term children's books or children's literature. I think of it as a genre like mystery or science fiction, and so it's something you can participate in, and it's not limited to the age of the reader. And in fact, in children's literature, it's always kind of tricky because the books are not purchased or taken down from shelves in libraries necessarily by their readers. You have that extra layer of parent or teacher or librarian who's putting them in children's hands.
Did you get a lot of disapproval? Were there parents saying, we don't want these books in our house or in our libraries?
Every so often.
Because they're strange books. I mean, they're...
Yeah. I mean, I think that they are about troublesome things. And I think parents understandably have an urge to keep troublesome things away from their children. I have that urge all the time. I have a son, and I still have the same urge of, oh, I better not let him think about this. I better not let him have a moment of unhappiness in the world. It's tough to steel yourself and remind yourself that the world needs to be shown because it is being shown.
But that's probably why kids love to read these books.
Well, everyone has a theory. I just think a story is most appealing when it has something interesting going on, and it's hard to think of an interesting story that doesn't have some kind of dire threat.
Including a lake full of man-eating leeches, which is pretty scary.
And woman-eating, I would like
to add.
Well,
that's true.
They're
person-eating
sexist.
Leeches.
Right. Yeah.
So tell me, I'll go back to the question. Did you start out as a novelist and then move into the children's books?
My first novel, strangely, kind of straddles both worlds. My first novel is called The Basic Eight, and it is about a girl in high school who has a crush on a boy. And he does not like her back, and so she bludgeons him to death with a croquet mallet. It's a comedy. And when it took a long time to find a home, and several editors said, you write very well about young people. We cannot publish this for young people, but maybe you should write something that is for young people.
See, that's what I said. That's exactly what I said. 14-year-old girl, you've captured it.
Well, but she's again, 17 in The Basic Eight, which is a world of difference, kind of, but still far from me. And I thought it was a terrible idea that I write for children because I saw myself as a kind of dark and esoteric writer. I never thought I would get much of an audience. And although I could imagine myself writing something that children would like, I never thought it would be accepted by the rather conservative guardians of children's culture. But strangely, that is not what happened. Strangely, for the vastly most part, librarians and educators and booksellers and parents and then the children they were supposedly guarding all had access to Lemony Snicket.
And you've been very successful. You made a lot of money. You've become famous. I don't know if that's helpful in trying to still be a writer, or does that get in the way? Like, you know, Hemingway, once he became famous and rich, he stopped doing good stuff.
Well, I'm not driving around in a boat with a gun and a bottle of rum like Mr. Hemingway. That doesn't seem to be that way danger lies. But I would never in a million years complain about what's happened to me. I never thought it would happen. Every writer I know and most of my close friends are practitioners of fiction, and they are all struggling in one way or another. And it's an unbelievable boon and blessing to get to write for a living, let alone make a very good living at it. So I've never had a complaint about that at all.
So what's your writing regimen? Are you one of those up at 5 a.m. guys, or do you take the legal pad to the cafe like J.K. Rowling?
I'm a legal pad user. All my pads are strictly legal. And I write all over the place. I write in libraries and in cafes and occasionally even in my own office. I do wake up pretty early, but that's more a function of having a child than it is having a career. It's a very boring regimen. I mean, but I'm writing a lot and I like it a lot. I've written a lot of books, I think mostly because I can't think of what else to do all day long.
Where is it going? Now, I know there was the Lemony Snicket movie, was made a few years ago.
Yes, quite a few years ago now. And Netflix is embarking on adapting all 13 volumes of A Series of Unfortunate Events into what I think will be 26 hours of television.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are you involved in that? I mean, because I know with
so
the film,
far,
it's
I'm
always
involved.
The author is sometimes doesn't work well as the screenwriter and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I worked for about 5 years on the movie and then I was fired. And so I've not been fired yet from Netflix, but it's still early. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time to fire me.
So I would think that the questions would be, you've written We Are Pirates, which again, I enjoyed. It's an easy book to read. I mean, it's not
thank
like,
you.
I mean, I spent the summer reading Anthony Trollope. And
oh, really?
I'm done with that. Although he was a very regimented
How
writer.
Much Anthony Trollope did you read?
I don't want to. So much I'm embarrassed to tell you.
All right.
I read both of the Barsetshire Chronicles and the Palliser Chronicles.
That's very impressive. I haven't cracked either of those open.
And my Facebook now says I am no longer in a relationship with Anthony Trollope.
With Anthony Trollope, all right.
But it does, and again, he was an incredibly regimented writer.
Yes.
So many pages per hour or so many words per hour.
Yeah, I don't keep track of things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could on a legal pad anyway, but I write kind of – I like to think that I stop my workday when everybody wants to. I stop about 3 o'clock and everyone else has to fake it for a couple more hours. And I get to put my pen down and take a walk and start dinner.
So who shows up? When you come to talk about your latest book, We
Yes.
Are Pirates, who shows up? Is it – like I say, when I said my kids are adults –
Right.
Is that –
And
that,
you're still sending them to the basement. That's a lot of power.
They've got a lot of stuff in the basement
yeah.
still. Yes. Yes. Is that who's showing up as kids who grew up reading Lemony Snicket and now are your fans as well
as
others?
All sorts of people are showing up. I mean I travel a lot and talk about the Snicket books as Snicket books keep on coming out. And so certainly you get all ages there. For this book, I've been getting fewer children because I think it's pretty clear that it isn't a book for children, but it's not as if I'm uttering obscenities during the reading or something. And so there are plenty of children there too, plenty of families. If you were in elementary school when the Snicket books were coming out, you're probably in your 20s now.
Right.
And so I meet a lot of people there. I meet a lot of young people who have inked themselves with one or more quote or prop from the world of Snicket. And I try to take that as a compliment, although as a 44-year-old man, I'm utterly alarmed.
So what are your long-term projects? People say, oh, we need 12, 13 more of these books or a new series?
Well, I have the utter luxury of getting to do the stories that occur to me. So
yeah.
A couple years after I finished a series of Unfortunate Events, I had another idea, which was the series All the Wrong Questions, which the fourth and final volume of which comes out this fall. I'm doing some more picture books. I did a picture book with John Costin and had a wonderful time, so I'm doing more picture books with him.
These would make great graphic novels, by the way. I think all of your books.
Oh, thank
you.
A lot
of
yeah.
Them.
Well, All the Wrong Questions is illustrated by Seth, who's a quite renowned graphic novelist and a Canadian. I just mentioned that because it charms me. and I don't know if he has the stamina to adapt everything into a graphic novel, but he's been wonderful to work with. It's an unbelievably lucky life I have. So I'm working on more projects with Myra Kalman. I've collaborated with her a lot. And I've started a new novel for adults as well.
I wanted to say, because I was rereading, I did read the book and I started rereading it again, and I realized not that only did I think you captured a 14-year-old girl, but you actually captured me in this sentence. It said, "One time Phil Needle tripped over a small rug as he entered a cafe, and he straightened the rug so no one else would do the same thing. He sometimes walked across the street against the red light, but never when small children could see him and follow his example." That either sounds sad or proper, but it sounds exactly like me. As soon as I read that, I thought, "You nailed me."
Thank you. Yeah. What as well as the people who steal the boat and go on pirate adventures, is Phil Needle is a central character in the book. He's Gwen's father, and he is someone who is kind of struggling to be a good person.
And nobody recognizes him for all of these little things
that
he
right.
does properly.
Well, and he pats himself on the back perhaps excessively for his good deeds and punishes himself also perhaps excessively for his bad deeds. He also would like to escape the confines of his life and goes on a journey that in his head is one of open rebellion but is actually a rather ordinary and not particularly successful business trip. And only when he discovers that his daughter is missing, she's off being a pirate, but he doesn't know that, does his life become kind of electrified and he realizes what it means to try to escape from the world.
Daniel Handler is the author of We Are Pirates. He's going to be at the St. Louis County Library headquarters on South Lindbergh, 7 o'clock Friday night. He is also
otherwise known as Tonight.
also known as Lemony Snicket. I imagine you'll be getting lots of questions. And I wanted to ask you about playing the accordion, but that's probably a good pastime for you. Very briefly, here.
Absolutely. I took it up in college. My parents acted as if I'd taken up heroin, but. But the accordion has served me well. It's a gypsy instrument, and so it fits in well with music of just about every culture. I've played spirituals and Irish jigs and a lot of klezmer and Argentinian tango. It's a great thing to sit in.
Yeah, well, next time, bring the accordion. It's
not my show,
so I can all.
I always have a policy that I don't bring my accordion unless I'm asked, because the question, why did you bring your accordion, is terrible. But the question, why don't you bring your accordion, is charming.
Well, thanks so much. Daniel Handler, author of We Are Pirates, also known as Lemony Snicket. Thanks for coming in and
thank you for having me
today. Hey, next week on Cityscape, we'll be talking with Nashville musician Ricky Skaggs about his latest projects and his performance at the Sheldon. We'll also take a look at the new George Caleb Bingham exhibit at the St. Louis Art Museum. And Opera Theater of St. Louis is releasing its first CD, last spring's production of 27. We'll talk to composer Ricky Ian Gordon and librettist Royce Varick. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when in honor of President's Day, he'll talk about several U.S. presidents with regional connections and revisit his discussion about a road trip with Harry and Bess Truman, the one they took after leaving the White House. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, Erica Smith, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr and Katie Cook. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Jim Kircher.